This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's an absolute great hire for them. Just your initial thoughts, and you can give them to us too. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. You know, Tito was looking at probably a statue here in Northeast. What do you, is he statue worthy?
Darn right he is.
Okay, I think so too. But, you know, I don't know. Does this change things that he went on to another team if he would have retired and just said, that's it, happy trails?
No.
Okay, I'm just making some.
No, I don't think so. No. That wasn't meant to be like a It wasn't meant to have like malice behind it. That was just a general. No, I don't think so. We all knew he would find his way back to managing at some point. Mm-hmm. He had never like buried any of those thoughts. I just, not gonna lie, I thought it was gonna be another year. I thought he would take another year and really make sure that everything going on with him and all that stuff was healed up. He was feeling good. He got all the golf in that he wanted to play. He did whatever he wanted to do besides, you know, follow the Arizona Wildcat basketball team around for a while, you know, whatever made the man happy. I thought he would take 2 years and then find his way back in, kind of like with, like, I think Bruce Bochy took like 2 years and sailed all over the place and all that stuff. Like, I thought we were on that kind of a trajectory. And not the year.
Isn't John Farrell sailing somewhere? Isn't he running like a, he's somewhere in New England. I think he's running like a fishing charter boat. I think that's awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
I remember seeing the picture of him doing that.
Good for him, man.
All right. So, you know, he was here for 10 years. You know, I think fans just adored him, respected him, saw what he was able to do, you know, picked up Manager of the Year here. He picked up two Manager of the Years here, didn't he?
Made a World Series.
Yeah. You know, took
deep playoff runs.
You know, managed his you-know-what off. And I just think, you know, I think last year was just probably the right time for both sides to break off on this thing. And I really think that's what happened. I know what, you know, how it looked to the fans and how it looked to everybody on the outside. Looked like, oh, this is a mutual parting of the ways. And, you know, he's got to get his health. Yes, absolutely. He had to get his health together and try to figure that out. He's still very vested in the city of Cleveland with some restaurant dealings that he's got around town. And, you know, there's even a pizza slice named after him at his pizza place down the street here. So, you know, he's still very much part of our community. And, you know, I think he was adored because he took a scooter to the game. I mean, there were so many little things about him that made him real. And I think fans love that. And that was a big part of it. But now he finds himself, you know, picking up another. I am not surprised at all. Not surprised at all. And I just don't know what the life of a manager is anymore in Major League Baseball. And I think that might be a part of it. And we talk to Brian Anderson every week, and he talks about how managers really aren't managing anymore. That you've got front offices that are doing everything, and they've got their hands in everything. And I just, you know, a lot of it is being able to be the PR guy. You know, they're the PR guy because they talk to the media more than anybody else. They talk to most media twice a day, before the game and then directly after the game. I think they get Sundays off for the most part. You know, they're the information givers to the media, then therefore that's the information that comes to you. In some ways, I think being a manager in Major League Baseball, especially if you are very much a team that leans on analytics wholeheartedly, that's what it is. I mean, I don't even know if you're filling out the lineup card every day. You may have their handwriting on there, but the front office is all over. It's not just here. It's all over the place. And so I don't know if manager today is manager what it was years ago. And if the front office and the manager maybe don't get along, or if there's some kind of a different path that they want to take, then maybe it is time to split off. I wish him all the luck in the world in Cincinnati. I hope he has a great and successful time down there. Just please don't beat up on the Guardians.
Well, the first thing that popped into my head was, well, that's good. At least he knows where the facility is. That was the first thing that popped into my head.
You mean the training facility?
The spring training facility is.
Yeah, you just have to go a half mile down the road.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's the same exact, for those of you who
don't
know.
But the ballpark's the same.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Goodyear has both the Reds and the Guardians in it. So that was the first thing that popped. Oh, well, he knows where he's going. So I'm kind of with you. I wonder how much, I wonder how much of it has to do with say either direction. I wonder if, especially when it came to Terry Francona, I think his health was number one. I think he just needed to take a year off and he needed to get healthy. And I don't think it should put any kind of tarnish on his legacy here in Cleveland. He still did wonderful things. He still built this franchise back up when it was pretty downtrodden. And he came in and he, along with everybody else inside of that organization, made a lot of good playoff runs. They made that World Series run. They ran into that buzzsaw cheating Houston Astros team on a team that I still think was the best one that they put together. Probably should have won the World Series that year. Mm. That team was stacked. So, yeah, it stinks to see him go elsewhere. But I'm not shocked. What I'm shocked about is that it's the Reds. I'm shocked
really?
That he's going. Yes, I'm
shocked. It's a Major League Baseball team that has an opening. Why does that shock you?
I'm shocked he would want to sign up with an organization with a long history of cutting corners and a long history of doing dumb things like going to Rotary clubs and saying, "Well, we're not competing this year." So I don't know what to tell you. I mean, we're not trying for anything this year. I mean,
have you ever looked at our history? I mean, we have some moments like that too. It's
what
not
the Castellinis have done over the last few years when it's come to this team is like. If you're a Reds fan, you've been kicked a good amount in the last 10 years. Like, you've been kicked pretty hard numerous times. Hmm. And so that's part of the reason where it's like, you could see where the Terry Francona thing made sense because he had a relationship with being here for that little bit between the Phillies and the Red Sox. Like, you could kind of look and go like, okay, he knew what he was getting into here. And I don't know if that same relationship.
I think he was in a great. I think when he first came here, it was a great relationship because.
Heck yeah.
Right in the beginning, Chris was still, you know, still early in his career. I'm trying to remember what year he took over as general manager. And you know, I think I have all the respect in the world for Chris Antonetti. And I think it was a good marriage when he first came here because it gave you, you know, maybe some new edge thinking along with some old school managing. And I think that there was a lot of respect in the front office for the opportunity to get Terry Francona to come out of retirement from taking him off the desk at ESPN and knowing what had happened to him in Boston the year before, which just to me it seemed ridiculous, or 2 years before he came here. I think that when he first came here, it was actually just like this perfect marriage of old school, new school. Let's try to figure out how to be a winning franchise and stay the course. Again, it's winning franchise. It's not necessarily winning World Series franchise. It's a winning franchise. And you have to respect them for their ability to put a team out on the field board. You may not know the last names of the guys that are out there, but yet somehow, some way they continue to be competitive because they're in the AL Central and they know how to compete. I'm not saying they know how to bring home the big trophy, but they know how to compete and they know how to win.
Yeah.
So I mean, so when he first came in here, I thought it was, you know, I thought it was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And so, I think as fans, we reap the benefits of that. And then I don't know what happened over the last year. You could see that it just looked like he was frustrated at the trade deadline. What, 2 years ago now, that the team didn't really want to go out and do anything. And then all of a sudden, they started to do something. They brought in some veterans after. It was just goofy. Like, they weren't on the same page. I'll just put it that way. Let's just, to the outsider, it didn't look like the front office and Terry Francona were on the same page. And we also knew that Tito wasn't feeling real well and that, remember, he had missed an All-Star game because he was under the weather and he had some health issues. And we all saw this. I mean, we all get it. We all understand it. And just sometimes it's time for a parting of the ways. I am not mad at Terry Francona at all. And I'm listening
Be in the slightest.
Yeah, people were like, people are blaming the front office for him. Like, I don't know that it's so much the front office. I just think philosophically they were on different paths.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell anybody how to feel. Look, if you're angry and all that stuff, fine. You know, I'm not going to tell you how to feel. I just don't think you should take this as a slap in the face.
No, there's no way. No, yeah. I don't think the Guardians front office should take it as a slap in the face, and I don't think fans especially should take it as a slap in the face.
Absolutely.
So what? He's going to Cincinnati. So we play them six times next year. So what? Ooh, the Ohio Cup. Oh, man, that's great, man. When's the last time we had a parade for the Ohio Cup? When's the last time anyone cared? Really,
seriously. It's right up there with the barge. It's probably being used to prop a door open somewhere.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's some catcher wearing the Ohio Cup somewhere. Cleveland is in Cleveland. Hi, Cleveland.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you,
doing
man?
Doing well, man. How are you?
All right. Just wanted to say something right quick. Doesn't he have some doesn't Terry have some history with the Reds? Didn't he play with them?
Yeah, he did. He played with them in 87. Correct. He did. He played with them for a year. Oh, that was it? All right, well. He had history here too, right?
Right, and he may have, you know, exactly what Cleveland said. He may have that history, and maybe he's got a connection with the Castellini family for that exact reason. I don't know. It's just not the place that I would have picked if I were him. I would have waited a little longer, seeing if anybody else opened. Maybe the San Francisco gig opens up. Maybe I would head that direction where I would have a payroll, and I would have ownership that is a little bit known to be more all in than what the Castellinis have been in the past. That would be my only reservation.
Do you think, and just looking at his background, I'm just asking this baseball wise, right? Boston is just like, Boston's a hotbed, right, for sports.
Andy,
that's
the pressure cooker of baseball right there.
So, obviously, you come to Cleveland, it's more of a hometown feel. You're not going to get ripped by the media. You're not really going to get – the pressure isn't the same. If you perform, it's great. Let's be honest. Most eyes are on the football team most of the year. I'm not – let's just – don't – I know how you feel. I know how we all feel about baseball. I love baseball. If you ask me what team is the most important team in town, I'm going to tell you the Guardians, and it has nothing to do with sports. It has everything to do with filling 81 dates in a ballpark that keeps your downtown alive. It has nothing to do with sports. That having a baseball team here is unbelievably important, you know, when you look at the economic impact of what's going on there. But by the same token, the pressure of being a manager here, how do you think other cities would have been? Let's just say in New York. Although Aaron Boone had Aaron managed anything before he went to?
Nope.
No,
not a thing.
But he was a name. He was a link to Yankees history. If he wouldn't have played basketball, he never would have played here. Do you remember that? How he got hurt playing basketball?
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely.
I just don't. I think that if you're going to manage and you're going to manage in a city like Cleveland or Cincinnati or Pittsburgh or Kansas City, even Tampa, I mean, the pressure is much different than it is if you're in New York, if you're in Chicago. I mean, it's just night and day. And you're not – like, I think as a manager, you can kind of control the atmosphere. You can control the message that's going out. You know, because people are like, well, we're excited we have a baseball team, but you know, if you win, you lose, it's not the end all be all. I'm sorry, I'm just being totally honest about that. I know people may not want to hear that. John Morosi, MLB Network. I want to hear what he has to say. He's going to join us next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.